one of the most exciting players to come down the pike in the last 20 years or so in the NHL was Theo Fleury. I mean, this guy came out, burst on the scene, 5'6", and just absolutely lighting it up for years with the Calgary Flames. He has now written a book, Playing with Fire, and he joins us now. Theo, welcome to the show. How are you?
Good. Thanks for having me on.
Theo, I appreciate you coming on. Let's talk a little bit about the book. What was the inspiration to now go ahead? I mean, it's just such an incredible story. I'm not all the way through the book yet, but your story from being so young and being a, you know, an Olympian and a champion with the Flames and so on, why now is the time to write this book?
Well, I just felt that that I was ready, and, you know, it... I felt my story was an important story to tell, but, you know, first I need to be in a good place in my life to be able to, you know, I guess to deal with this, you know, on a daily basis, which has kind of happened over the last 3 months, is that, you know, this has been front and center in Canada, and obviously, you know, when you talk about sexual abuse, you know, it's a hot topic for discussion, and you know, especially for it to have happened to a guy like myself, who's kind of a high profile guy here in Canada. So, but you know, I just really wanted people to understand what kind of why my career went off the rails at the end, and you know, I wanted to be as honest as possible when writing the book, and you know, I think I've been able to you know, accomplish that.
That aspect of your career, you know, at a very young age, the sexual abuse by a junior coach back in the day, unfortunately, it's not like this is the only story of it. It seems like there's been a few stories like that, and then obviously for everyone that's told, there are a number that don't get told, and it's something that impacted your entire life. You know, it impacted every decision that you made along the way, a lot of it having to do with what you went through as a young guy. Is that kind of the message?
Yeah, absolutely. That, you know, obviously my behavior fit the crime, and because of that, you know, I struggled for a long time to kind of figure out how I was going to live the rest of my life with this, you know, this secret. And to be able to now let the world know about my secret, I'll tell you, it's been a huge relief and a huge burden that has been lifted off my shoulders. And not only that, now, you know, I'm now in a position now I can help a whole lot of people that have been through the same situation and maybe get some courage and strength, you know, by reading my story. And, you know, that has happened. You know, the thousands upon thousands of emails that I've received has been incredible.
Yeah, and that is, you know, that's the thing about it, that is the positive, obviously, with all the accolades that you've received as a player and the great play that you had and the enjoyment that you brought to everybody. You obviously lived your life on the edge when you played the game. You talk about going to New York City, and my producer, in fact, is a huge Rangers fan, and he remembers your time playing in New York. But, you know, I would imagine for, you know, a kid from Canada and a guy who had so much success at Calgary, you live back there, going to New York, that was probably about the worst possible place that you could have gone and taken your career to. Just way too many, you know, attractions there that could take you off a pace, I would imagine.
Yeah, but you got to realize that, you know, the Rangers are one of the storied franchises in all of hockey, and, you know, there's no better place to win in any sport than New York City, and, you know, they had gone out and signed a lot of guys along with myself that year, and, you know, I really felt that at some point during my stay in New York that we would have a championship team, and that's basically the reason why I went to New York, because, you know, after we won the Cup in 89 here in Calgary, you know, I never really got another sniff at winning another one, so... You know, I knew the Rangers were the type of team that was going to spend money while I was there to surround, you know, myself and Brian Leetch and Mike Richter with some great players. And you know, unfortunately, things didn't work out, but you know, I love playing in New York, and you know, there's no better place to play every night than Madison Square Garden. And you know, it's unfortunate that you know, things didn't work out the way that we'd all planned, but you know, still an amazing organization to play for, and you couldn't be treated better as an athlete than play for the Rangers.
I would imagine there are nights where you sit there, Theo Fleury, our guest, and you think about what might have been. As great as your career was, I mean, without the abuses and you know, the alcohol and drugs and all that other type of stuff, you ever just sit there and think, damn, I mean, what you could have done with that career, and how much, you know, how much more you could have done, I should say, you know, with your career on the ice?
Well, you know, I don't really have any regrets about my life, because you know, today I'm in a really great place in my life, and you know, there's a lot of positive things that have happened, I guess, out of the tragedy stuff, and you know, I feel that you know, there's always been a plan for my life, and you know, the plan now is to, you know, like I said, help as many people as I can, and you know, we've already started down that path, and you know, it's been very rewarding and exciting.
Tremendous amount of courage, Theo Fleury, coming out the book Playing with Fire. You can get it everywhere, and I suggest you do. It's riveting, it's disturbing, but it tells a great story about a guy who is now making an effort to make sure that he helps as many young people who are in the situation that he was in as possible. Theo, you talk about talking to young guys and say, hey, pick up that phone, make a call, do what you got to do. But the root of the problem are these coaches and that are the abusers, no matter how many of them there are. How do you stop that? I mean, how do they make sure that these guys are screened or whatever it has to be done to make sure that young guys aren't put in that position? Because, you know, look at you. You had to go through 30 years of this before you could talk about it.
Yeah, it's, you know, that's so true. And, you know, I think as we move forward here, it's all about education, you know, and, you know, educating the right people who are in power that, you know, that this stuff goes on, you know, every minute of every hour of every day. And, you know, I think the awareness is here in Canada for sure. There's a lot of great programs that are now in place that, you know, work on the screening part of the abuse and deters these guys from getting in situations that they shouldn't be in. And but only that, you know, I think, you know, there's more people like me out there who, like you said, struggled for 30 years of their life, and you know, the education part now is to let these people know that, you know, they can get help quickly and efficiently, and you know, that's why we've set up the Theo Fleury Foundation, which will, you know, now go out and support educating as many people as we can on the, I guess, the, you know, the power that this thing has.
And finally, hockey has been, youth hockey has really had a boom here in Nashville, all throughout the Mid-South as well. You're talking to the parents right now. What would be a telltale thing for them to look at or look for out of their young men that if they suspect maybe something is up? Is there something that would be a tip-off to them to say, hey, you know, something funny might be going on there and you need to deal with that?
Yeah, I would say, you know, an extreme drop in their schooling, you know, their marks in school, or, you know, a real change in their behavior. You know, if they went from being a nice kid to a kid who's always in trouble, I would say that that's a pretty telltale sign that something significant has happened in their life that they, you know, that they can't deal with. And you know, and that was the case for me. You know, obviously, you know, the booze and drugs for me were a coping mechanism and a way to kind of deal with life on life's terms. I really didn't have a whole lot of people around me that I trusted or could really confide in, and you know, because of that, you know, obviously I struggled for a long time, but on the other side of the coin, you know, I want to let people know that, you know, no matter how far down the ladder you've fallen, that you can make it back, and when you do make it back, you can, you know, be in a position to make a difference, and you know, like I said, since the release of the book, you know, my life has just been incredible with, you know, the support and love and admiration of the fans, and you know, everybody talks about courage and you know, what it took to write this book. But, you know, like I said, it was really important that the content, you know, got out to people and let them know and let them be aware that, you know, that this does happen. And, you know, the real stats when it comes to abuse is, you know, 1 in 3 girls and 1 in 6 boys by the time they're 16 years old have been sexually molested in some sort of way. So, you know, when you throw that stat out there, you know, that's of epidemic proportions, and that puts us in the same category with AIDS and cancer and all the, you know, horrible things that are going on in this world today.
I give you a lot of credit for doing what you're doing and bringing that out the way you've done it. I know a guy that would be very proud of you is a guy that's a regular on our show as well. Of course, Terry Crisp, who was your coach back in 89 and when you guys won that cup in Calgary. He's become kind of a folk hero around here as a color commentator for the Nashville Predators. And I got to ask you, from Crispy, pretty much what you see is what you get. I mean, has he always been that kind of a guy? Because he's a guy that just loves the game, it seems like, and loves talking to people, and it just seems to be as genuine as they get.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and for me, you know, Crispy was the guy that gave me my first opportunity to, you know, to shine. And, you know, he gave me every opportunity to be a part of that 1989 Stanley Cup team. And, you know, he showed a tremendous amount of confidence in my ability and what I could do on the ice. And, you know, there's no BS with Crispy. You know, he tells it like it is. And, you know, I think people like that about people, that, you know, there is no sugarcoating anything. And, you know, that's the kind of guy Crispy is. And, you know, I owe a lot to Terry because, you know, he allowed me to... allowed me the opportunity to play in a great team, and you know, gave me a lot of ice time and a lot of opportunities to play with great players. And you know, in the end, you know, we were able to you know, carry the Stanley Cup around the Montreal Forum, which no visiting team in the history of hockey has ever done. So you know, kudos to him, and I'm glad that he's doing well. He's got a great family, and it's always nice to hear that he's doing well and that he's found a home in Nashville.
Yeah, well, if the Preds don't break this 3-game losing streak tonight in St. Louis, Crispy might be telling it a little more like it is than some people might want to hear, but that's a whole other story. Theo, we appreciate you for coming on, and we really appreciate the work you're doing with the book, and just keep up the great work, man.
All right, take care. Thanks so much for having me on.
All right, thank you. Theo Fleury. I mean, that's a guy that can play some hockey. 5'6". You go back, you get your hands on this book, and you deal with the disturbing part of it, of course, with the sexual abuse from his junior coach and what he went through and all the things that Theo Fleury just, yeah, he almost killed himself. I mean, at one point in time, he was looking down a barrel of a gun in a drunken stupor, and he was ready to kill himself over the whole thing. But you go back to the hockey aspect of it. This guy was 5'6" and weighed 150 pounds. You see pictures of him with the Calgary Flames, the Theo Fleury that was there when Terry Crisp was the coach at the Flames, and he looks like a little boy. When I tell you he looks young, he looks like my 12-year-old son. That's how amazing it was to see him out there doing the things that he was doing with the behemoths that were out there. That Theo Fleury, always just a tiny guy with a huge heart. And, you know, what a story. So you need to check it out. It's called Playing with Fire is the name of the book.